time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. In the Conversation, we back America's number one DEI podcast.
Is it?
I don't know. I ain't seen the rankings yet. Waiting for Black Enterprise to come out with the rankings.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Diversity, what, equity, inclusion. We diverse enough, somewhat, from the other pods.
Yeah, no doubt. We equitable.
We equitable. We inclusive.
Inclusive of ourselves, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, shit. We invited. Shit. Y'all invited.
It's hard. Yeah, everybody's invited.
Absolutely. It's a conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, I don't know. You know, DEI, you know, some say it means nigga. Some say it means just, you know, blacks, so it's the new upgraded affirmative action or whatever. You know, it's the it's the new scapegoat, I'll tell you that, seems to be.
I mean, they shaking it off, man, creating diversions for, you know, all the shit going down. I guess they plan is to do it all at once, nigga. They ain't gonna catch everything. And then by the time it washed out, that shit be done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's wild.
Wildcat offense.
Yeah, it's wild. They got a wildcat offense, man. But, you know, what the fuck can a nigga do?
Just survive. Yeah. Not even survive, but thrive.
Thrive in this shit.
In the midst of the chaos.
Yep. Thrive in the chaos and see where that shit is headed and landing, and then do our parts when it's time. Try to find business, do business with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Take that shit right back to the streets almost, you know what I'm saying? Where you got to do business with the niggas who right around you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Peer to peer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I think we could do it because we got
to
do it.
We going to have to.
And that's the beauty of it all. I think that's what upsets the people sometimes, is that throughout all of what they throw at us, we could dance that shit off, you know what I'm saying, and get it in and thrive, like, you know, not just survive but thrive against all odds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying that to you and I'm saying that to me, you know what I'm saying. Remember that for sure. it was funny. I was at Target today. I probably should be boycotting, but you know, I don't God, look. Don't look to me. I was at Target today. I was looking for the Bop Tarts. That's the ghetto gastro Pop Tarts, black owned pastry. That's what Bop stands for.
Well, that's wild, because I was in Target yesterday, and they had a DEI Black History Month display. Ghetto Gastro book was the first thing I saw. So that's weird that you say that.
Yeah, I've seen that book. I actually own the book, but I've been wanting to try their Pop Tarts to see what it is. The Bop Tarts, pardon me. I wanted to see what it is. I can never find them. They supposedly at Target. But anyway, so this is Target uptown. And I'm asking one of the women, like one of the associates. But I guess, you know, she don't speak English. So she ain't really know what I was talking about. But there was this other lady that was, she was just being helped. But then she just turned herself into like an associate. She was like, what you looking for? I said, Bop Tarts. So she looks it up on her iPhone. You know what I mean? Like, she does not work there. She's just there. She was being helped by the lady. But I guess she said, you know what? Let me pitch in. So she looks it up. And she said, this is it, Bop Tart, what's this? I said, yeah, it stands for black old pastry. She was like, Target don't sell black owned stuff no more. I said, that is false. That's false. They don't support DEI, but they're still black, you know, they're still black retailers that are being, you know what I mean? So with
black vendors and shit.
Yeah, there's black vendors still. They just don't, you know. they're just reluctant about it. But, you know, that was just a funny, it was just funny how the misinformation moved fast and with conviction. Target don't do the black owned shit no more. I was like, well, thank you. I appreciate your misinformation, but you are wrong. But, yeah, I'm curious to try it. I'm keeping my expectations in check, though. You know me. I'm not the. I think it's vegan based, vegan adjacent. Whoa. You know, get vegan. I don't know.
When the crust gets kind of funny.
Yes, it does. In the filling, it's just the texture's just a little. Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah, the crust science don't be the same.
No, it's no butter. It's no butter, brother. That there, that is. I don't even know what that is. I can't tell you. That might be cashew paste. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm gonna try it though. See what they come up with and see what's it about. You know, just to support the people, you know, because that's the thing. I will say the movement in itself looks exciting. I just wish that the taste for me, and maybe I'm on them and I might be in the minority. It seems like it's that my little minority is getting smaller and smaller, but I refuse to be gaslit by the fact that these vegan options taste like what I'm used to. It does not taste like it tastes like vegan shit. It tastes like the vegan shit. It tastes like science, as I say. But y'all go ahead and keep telling me, no, I don't know what you're talking about. They just the same. No.
No, I am used to the feeling. I remember when shit was real. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, I don't know about these shrimp nowadays. That shit don't taste like they used to when I was a kid.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. They had a certain kind of, and then I'm from Miami, so I don't know if it was because it was fresh from the water or whatever, but this shit ain't the same.
Really? What's the difference in taste?
It don't have, the taste ain't as full, and it like, shrimp, like first time I had shrimp, it had like a little after thing, but it was enjoyable. You know what I'm saying? Like an aftertaste that was enjoyable. Mm. And now, the most shrimp don't have that shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, just chalk it up to maybe my senses is going dull. I don't know. But it don't be having that shit.
That's crazy. And speaking of Miami and even broader Florida, you might, I don't know if you've noticed this, but, I might have said this before. Oranges are dry as hell now. Like, it's very rare you get like a juicy orange. You gotta get like a tangerine or a mandarin, but like a regular old school navel orange.
Yeah.
It's like an apple.
It's like shit now. It's out of season now. Like, they, you know, they doing shit year round now. Mm. Used to be a season for oranges and mangoes and all that shit. Right. Now they growing them shit year round, but I do know it depends. If you're talking about now, in the now era, like the winter, I do remember like on the news in Miami, they used to be like crop reports and shit. They don't do that shit no more. Mm. Where if it get a little too cold, it's gonna fuck up the crops. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they tell you that, you know, the oranges were in the, it was a frost on the oranges and shit, so be careful. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And they whack. They mid.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That's when they tell you that the oranges might be dry this year. You know what I'm saying? Because it was too cold. But, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the fuck going on nowadays. They just be doing shit.
Yeah, they just manipulating shit. Just trying to get some bread.
Yep. Which, you know what I'm saying? But the navel oranges out of California are usually still good. You're still juicy.
Interesting. So... But I always looked at Florida as the oranges. Maybe that was just marketing.
No, the regular oranges is usually coming out of Florida. Tropicana is based headquartered in
that's
Florida.
That's where I get the... Yeah, so wait, what's a regular orange called? Is that not a navel orange?
Nah, navel orange is the one that look like it got a belly button.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of them come out of California.
Got you.
Florida be having a regular orange that's just round, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, they have your fingers ready for the peel and type shit.
Yeah. You gotta get strong. You might have to have a nail or something on one of them fingers. Yeah.
You just be like, fuck it, let me just cut it in four. You
know what I'm saying? Right, yeah. And then they got the sumo oranges, which I kinda like.
You know, I never heard that.
You never see the sumo oranges? Sumo mm-hmm. oranges look like, it damn near look like some old leather. It's like, it look like the skin is too big for the orange.
Damn. You talking about with that thick ass skin?
Yeah, he just peel, that shit peels away.
Easy
like,
to peel off, but then the orange be little as fucking.
Yeah, kinda. Sometimes some shit's as big as hell. Right. And then you just tan, but it tans away easy. It's like breakaway orange.
It just feels like the orange be smaller than what it should be based on the size of the orange you just peeled.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, based on that thick ass whatever that skin they got.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Damn frost resistant skin.
Yeah. I don't know where they from. Sumo. I'm thinking maybe some Asian area, maybe. I don't know. Don't get me to start, you know, guessing and getting problematic. How you feeling, man? What's going on?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. You know what I mean? I'm feeling good because I just bought a new pair of frames and shit. Same as the ones I had, different color. But
okay. From the same spot that you went to before where you had a little issue?
No. I don't fuck with them. That was in New York.
Okay.
They you know what I'm saying? I gave no sir.
Okay.
Went to the same spot that took care of my last two successful runs.
Got it. Gotcha.
And so had a good experience, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Sally Optical and Phipps over there, where, you know, I came in with an idea I'm going to get the same color, but they ain't had the same color out there. I was going to have them order the same color, but it kind of fade the white at the bottom. Ain't really what I all the way wanted, but I felt like that'd do. But as I was going through it, she went and got another pair. I'm like, oh, shit, that color's busting. And so I went with those and then put the tin on, put all the little layers that need to go on there, the protection on the lens and the shit that stop it from glaring and all that type of shit. And so I went to, you know, get everything done. He was like, yeah, it's going to take about 2 weeks. And then he was like, you know, we got, you getting that the glare shit. So that's going to take another week. So that's 3 weeks. I'm like, damn. So I just forgot about them shits. And then a week later, I get the text say they was ready. I was like, nigga, I don't know if that's right. So I went up there. Them shits was ready. I was happy and surprised. I know I complain a lot on some of this shit, but this is a feel good story, feel good experience with the customer service. So that was great, you know what I'm saying? So I felt good. That was this morning, so I felt good about that, you know what I'm saying? And moving forth, you know what I'm saying? I still fuck with them. I got another pair I need to get, like, on some everyday shit. So I'll fuck with them on that. And then, shit, last night, man, though, my homeboy took me to this party. And walked in the party, nigga, I felt like I was in a computer simulation. You know what I'm saying? Not that it was fancy tech, but just what everybody was doing. You know what I'm saying? So
interesting.
So, yeah, it was crazy. And it was a lot of young. It was mixed. It had different ages, you know what I'm saying? But it was a lot of, like, you could tell there was a lot of people, this was like their first little taste of the nightlife type shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? 20, 21, 22, dread. Like, more, you know, granola feeling. Then you had some old school people who probably came from that era, the era of, you know what I'm saying, the artsy type of people. But you go in the spot, these niggas got the DJ, they got turntables or whatever, but the DJ is making beats, really, and then mixing in music with the beats and, you know what I'm saying, going back and forth, you know what I mean? So, like, he the DJ. And then,
how did that sound?
You got to let me finish explaining, because you're not there. You're not there for
take me through.
You know what I'm saying? You're not there for the whole, It's not the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, they, again, they will play music, but mm-hmm. he's also making beats up there or playing beats off a beat machine. So you got that. That's the, you know what I'm saying? The beats, and he good. The cat is good. Like, he had good beats, like good, solid, you know what I'm saying? Boom, bap, sample, bass beats. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. and then you got a movie playing on the screen. Then you got, it's almost like a food hall, not a food hall, but a drink hall, because you got a regular drink station. Then you got a drink over here based off of stouts. And then, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what the fuck is going on? Right? So it's, so then you got niggas, you got a table where niggas is drawing, like doing like, you know what I'm saying? Tracing and filling in, coloring some paper and shit, like a coloring papers. Then you got niggas, playing Uno with the big old cards. Then you go outside and they got food trucks and shit. They got a weed vendor, which I thought was crazy. I walked up to the place. They hustled me into the place. And then I'm like, y'all out here selling drugs? It's like, yeah. I'm like, man, it's crazy. So this nigga's out there smoking reefer. You got the food vendors. And then you got tables outside where niggas just chilling. Then you got like an upstairs outside. Got his own shit. But that's like for the amateur, that's like amateur hour to go play your beats. You know what I'm saying? So you got niggas with their beat machines go upstairs and playing beats. So I'm like, this is the, and then you got niggas playing video, like video games on like some computer screens. Like, so maybe it's like four screens or computers, they playing some video games. So then you got niggas with headphones on. And I'm like, what the fuck is the headphones for? So you got one channel where you could watch the movie. You know what I'm saying? You got another channel where you could listen to the main beat DJ. Then you got another channel where you could listen to the upstairs amateurs. You know what I'm saying? And you got another channel where you could listen to the video games that's being played.
Wow.
I'm like, nigga, am I in The Sims, nigga? What is this, the metaverse? What the fuck is going on? You know what I'm saying?
It sound like Club ADHD.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot going on.
It's
yeah.
a lot going on. And I'm like, what the? I feel out of place, but then I feel like I'm cool because ain't nobody tripping. This right. nigga's just, I guess it's a club for introverts too, because you can put the headphones on and just be coloring on some paper. You know what I'm saying? I like, man, this is some other shit here, man. Dude, I guess the future is in for some shit. Cause
yeah, you was in the future.
I was there. I was like, what the fuck is going on? But it was cool. I had a good time and left. And now it's not a place that I would frequent to like socialize, cause again, you know what I'm saying? A lot of these people young. You do have some older folks about, you know what I'm saying? My age in there, they congregating together or dancing to the samba record that he is sampling and blending and all that type shit. Mm-hmm. Got the old school dancing niggas that be doing all they dances. But if it was a place where you like, man, fuck it, I just want to disappear, and, you know what I'm saying? Go somewhere I can hit this joint and just be cool.
Right.
This is the place.
Interesting.
Because it ain't places like that. You could do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It sounds like it serves a lot of needs. One, I was going to ask you, does it feel cohesive or is it like elements? I remember like back in the day when we used to throw parties, shout out to my man Sense. That was one of the things he used to always say. He was like, you know, I like a club with elements. He used to say that shit and it bucked me out. I was like, what are you talking about? But now when I hear how you speaking on this, this sounds like this is what he manifested. Does this sound like, is it cohesive, well, or is every person in their own little zone? And
everybody's in their own zone, but but everybody knows what this is. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm looking like the only nigga that was probably like perplexed. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Right. So I think everybody knows what it is and everybody goes to their perspective space and do what they do. Like I said, it's people just sitting in there with headphones on that ain't bothering nobody and ain't nobody bothering them. They're just sitting there doing their thing.
Right.
Then there's other people that's chilling like it's a regular club, like it's a regular space. You got people playing, like again, playing the games. You can go sit outside and eat and chill like it's, you know what I'm saying? Like you don't even have to be involved with the party part of it. You know what I'm saying? So it's
sounds like
cohesively non-cohesive.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like the Soho House or something like that.
Nah.
Would you say anything like that or
no? It's different. Yeah. It ain't the Soho House type of vibe. Soho House, right? You basically got it summed up. You got some bars, you got some music, you got people working, doing whatever they do, and then you got people who doing a proper sit-down restaurant type of vibe. Nah, this ain't as clear-cut as that. This is like, niggas, it's weird. It's like being in The Sims, nigga.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, all kind of shit going on. If you want to teleport over here, okay, we got you. You want to be over here playing this video game? Like, you can't play the video game at Soho House. Because they got one DJ controlling the entire vibe. Right. With the headphones, you can click to what vibe you want to be on. And you don't even have to be on the headphones if you don't want to. But it's a lot of people walking around with the headphones on. You can tell what vibe they on by the color of the headphone. You know what I'm saying? Or what the color, the glow of the headphone, like the light, change colors.
Okay.
So if you watching, if you listening to the main DJ, that's red. If you listen to something else, it's blue. Then you got the green. You know what I'm saying? Cause I had questions, nigga. I'm like, what the fuck is
shit? I got questions.
Like, why is that? Why they? Like, how are they both listen to two different channels on the headphones, but talking to each other? Like, what the? Can you, like, I was confused, but that's how I was going down, and everybody was happy with it.
Did you put any headphones on or no?
Nah, I ain't.
I ain't gonna get swept in.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I like to hear what the fuck going on. Okay, something. You know what I'm saying? get the rumblings. Like, what the fuck is that?
Were people interacting with each
other?
Yeah,
they was interacting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How big is the spot?
It was pretty big. It's pretty sizable. It's Monday Night Brewing. So it's like a brewery. So it's like a pretty big spot. And then the outside goes all the way down. You got an upstairs part. So it's a pretty big spot. But it's not... It's not a type of spot where it's meant for people to crowd the space. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like a club when it's crowded. You're like, oh, yeah, this shit jumping. It's like, it's not sparse, but it's like, it's roomy because people got enough room to do whatever they want to do.
Right. Just get out the house.
There's enough room. It's just people who just want to get out the house. People who came to dance. It's people who came to fucking... we had one old school cat just sitting there trying to, I guess like in comedy, you could be waiting on a chance to get the mic. This nigga was sitting on the side, waiting on a chance to get the aux cord to put his beat machine in.
Okay. Interesting.
And I'm like, dog, I think you might want to go over here to the amateur hour, dog.
go plug up over there. You can't just jump on the main stage.
Right.
Damn,
but they do have a YouTube, and then the whole time they're shooting to YouTube.
Okay,
but
so I could go on YouTube and see it, or is it like
you
a live
you could see the beat maker. You can't see the whole thing, but you can see the beat maker, nigga.
It's called Monday Night Brewing.
Nah, that's where it's at. I think it's called Controllerize.
Oh, interesting. And so it's an event that's produced, but it happens there.
Yeah, it happens at Monday Night Brewery on a certain night. I guess whatever Monday night.
Okay, that sounds...
It's wild.
That sounds interesting. Yeah, it sounds like, you know...
Because he showed me the YouTube, but again, it's just the dude making beats and all that.
Right.
And then they had like Brian Michael Cox there 1 week. You know what I'm saying? They be having special guests every now and again.
Gotcha.
And he'll play all the songs he produced and, you know what I'm saying, do shit like that. But so I saw the YouTube, but you could only see the beat-making DJ part. But when he took me there, I'm like, nigga, this shit crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, telling you it's like being in one of them old virtual worlds, you know what I'm saying?
Interesting, yeah. It sounds cool. Sounds like something I would like to at least see it. I don't know, like, to your point, I don't know if I'd go back. but I just want to, you know, I want to be privy to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I see what's going on here.
I actually would go back.
Okay, okay.
But I wouldn't go to, like you would go to a club. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
If it's a chill-out night or off, ain't shit going on, I'm like, shit, let me just fuck around, see what's cracking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And get something to eat and chill out on the bench, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And watch how this shit go down and see who's who and who's... Because it ain't no such thing as, like, the players in the club. It ain't like the dope boys over here and the such and such over there. It ain't like that. That shit is just people. Mm-hmm. Like a food hall with all this shit in it.
Mm. That sounds interesting. I went to first Saturday. It was the first Saturday of the season. The Black mm-hmm. History joint. Mm-hmm. You know, Towards Joy was the theme.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooklyn Museum. It was cool. It was cool. It had everything. I noticed something, though. It uh-oh. Had everything that you would want it to be. Now, because I want to go back. But it had everything that you would want it to be. The people were there. I got there probably around about 8 o'clock. So I missed one of the opening DJs, some of the opening performances. But I did catch this DJ, Classic New Wave. Mm-hmm. And she was rocking. but what I realized, and they had some different, you know, and they had the, I don't know if it's, I've gone so many times that maybe I'm like, I don't want to say jaded or numb to it or whatever, because they still had to go to the third floor, since it's still cold, go to the third floor and that little rotunda and that shit was jammed and there's a DJ playing there and in the lobby there's a DJ and the people are there. This was the thing that I noticed. The art wasn't really cracking.
Like, they ain't got no good exhibits in there?
They ain't had no good exhibits, and I didn't realize, like, how, I mean, obviously it's a museum, right? I didn't realize how much that plays a part in the experience. Because I remember last February, when it was the Spike Lee, it was like maybe the last couple weeks of the Spike Lee joint, you know, that Creative Spaces joint that he had,
mm-hmm.
that was such a good-ass exhibit. And then after that, it was the Swiss and Alicia joint. That was mm-hmm. such a good exhibit. And, you know, they got, I don't even think the Elizabeth Catlett exhibit, I think that was over. They had this thing called Solid Gold, but I didn't really see a whole lot of that. What do they call them? Black Market Vintage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did like a little, almost like a little pop-up store, like a little small installation. It was cool, but it was just like, it was, you know, it was like a one room thing. And what I missed, and I thought they was gonna extend it for this, at least have it there for the because I was actually looking forward to it, because I told you last year, the last one, we got there too late, so we couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
But they had, like, Micheline Thomas did this curation of like Brooklyn artists, and it was like, you know, up and coming artists, and it looked like it was a dope exhibition. So I was looking for that, and they had wrapped that. So it just kind of, yeah, it just kind of was like, and I've been in that museum a lot of times. Like, there's some stuff in there mm-hmm. for sure, but it's just like there, the stuff that's always the home, in there, yeah, the house
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. house, you done seen all that.
I done seen it all. So, like, it was an element missing. Like, it was, everything was cool, but it was just like,
So,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
So this is kind of like that. You know what I'm saying?
That yeah, event it sounds like about, that.
To where mm-hmm. part of your experience was the actual art exhibits, you know what right. I'm saying? The collections right. and the curation, plus what's going on, might have right. just been like background for you, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So they needed, yeah. you know what I mean? They probably was working on it because they, yeah. I'm sure they don't want to not have a great exhibit.
Exactly.
You know exactly. Yeah, probably I'm sure was just an off. It's just an off month.
Yeah, it was an off. It was a little bit of an off month. It was still cool because it was the first one. It's the kickoff. It was the first day of Black History Month, so you know, we were in there. You know what right. I'm saying? It was and, us. You know, but
And, you know, sometimes organizations, things, promoters, I don't know, could lose sight of that part when they think, oh, the party was jumping. A lot of people, we locked in, you know what I'm saying? 6,000 people, shit, it was going down.
Right.
But they don't realize that the other elements play an important role in those 6,000 people, at least 2,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Want the entire experience and not just the party on the floor. You know what I'm saying? It's all them people going up and down the stairs. You know what I'm saying? Going into the different rooms. You got even the early hours, they got the kids shit. You know what I'm saying? Which, which again, was drawing on, you know, coloring things in and drawing. It's like the same shit almost except for this just for grown people and it's less, no art.
Elements. You know what I mean? Shout out to Sense. Elements. You gotta have your elements. Yeah, man.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a similar thing, but in a regular ad, in a brewery format.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting too, like when you, cause I do like, I realize I like to just hear DJ spin, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not always in a traditional club, you know what I mean? Like, but I like to hear DJ spin. I like, especially good DJ, see where they going with it, right? And yeah, Classic New Wave, she was rocking. She was playing some shit. It was cool. and I be looking for like, what's the new shit? You know what I mean? Like, what's the new thing? Like, I remember, like, you know, because things become new and then it become like a standard. You know what I'm saying? I remember, like, I can almost remember when, like, Poison became, like, the song. Like, it had that rebirth. You know what I'm saying? Like, Poison was Poison when it was out, but then it was, like, it was dormant for a while and then it became, like, that, the premier throwback record. And when you hear them drums, right?
Like, heard it all before.
Yeah, heard it all before is having one of those moments, you know, but one of those moments that I've seen, and it's been for a while, but it was very much apparent to me, and I don't know at what point it started, but like Kirk Franklin in the club, you know what I'm saying? Like, because Kirk Franklin, when it came out, it was gospel. It was a different approach to gospel, so he was like, it was on the radio, and it had a little, you know, but you wasn't going to hear it at the club. Back then, you know, you hit on the way to church or you hit maybe it make the mix. But now they play that joint like, you know, like it's one of them. It's like Poison. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so it was just interesting to just see that play out like, oh, this joint rocking, you know. And then I'll tell you another thing, too, which is funny. I felt so resistant, but it was what it was. I just wasn't, I'm not the most, I could, you know, I'll dance every so often, but I'm not in the middle of the circle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might've said it on here, like that little Jennifer Hudson thing where you got to dance to the stage, you know what I mean? With all her production assistants, you know what I mean? The PAs singing whatever song about you, and you got to do some type of little two-step to the, man, that should have given, that was so much anxiety. But anyway, I'm at the joint, and I'm chilling. I'm just enjoying life. I'm not doing no dry January or dry February, but I'm just, I don't be drinking. I wasn't drinking, right? So I wasn't nice. I was just enjoying life. I was just in the moment, just out and about. And I guess they played Luther, and Kat started like, electric slided to some Luther shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it was just funny just to see how the fucking electric slide, because I thought I was on the perimeter of the dance floor. You know what I mean? But it's just like,
the dance floor is on you.
Absolutely. That shit went from low tide to high tide. Like, I'm about to get swallowed. You know what I mean? Pause on some old T.D. Jakes. Swallowed up. You know what I mean? Swallowed up by the electric slide. But I'm up in that bitch, like, just holding it down, just not, you know what I mean? I'm trying my hardest. I didn't all the way jump into it, but it was like, I definitely, You know, I look like, I definitely look crazy. I look like a conscientious objector. Motherfuckers is electric sliding around me. It's hard to stay still when they around you.
You
got to
get out the way.
You got to get out the way. It's hard to get out the way. And it was funny. If you got to get out the way, you got to get out the way fast because it was people like,
time,
it's
a little, you got to get out the way on the time.
You got to time it like traffic because it was people like, oh, pardon me. And they running through like, yeah, man.
Yeah, I used to be shooting, right? When I shoot a party like that, I like to get in the middle of the dance floor, especially like when they play the big record. Like whatever the 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock record is, I'm going to jump right in the middle of the dance floor and just knock people out with the, knock the shots out. But then I was in there doing that shit, and then the next thing they did was an electric slide record. Now I'm stuck. I'm like, oh, hell no. So I had to time the movements to get the fuck out the middle of the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, and then I'm sure you got the camera and shit.
Yeah, big ass camera. They looking at it, they go like, what is you doing? It turned into, oh, they go the camera to, nigga, move.
Right, you are killing us. Yeah, get out the way. Yeah, yeah, man, so that was what that was. But it was cool, it was a good time to just, you know, just be out in these streets. Did you watch the Grammys?
Nigga, I didn't even know the Grammys was coming on, man.
Oh, man.
That part.
I barely knew either.
Till the shit started hitting the goddamn timeline, I was like, oh, shit, it's the Grammys. But it was too late.
Yeah, I
had a lot of shit going on Sunday, so I wasn't tapped in. Gotcha. I was actually exhausted. I might have been asleep, for real, by the time that shit came on. I started seeing it later and saw Kendrick and his Canadian tuxedo and Dolce did her thing. I saw Gregory Porter performed at some point.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I missed a lot, but I was tuned out.
I saw a good portion of it. I had a show, so I saw like the beginning and the end. I had to jet out to do a show, but I saw. It was some good stand, you know, it was cool. It was some moments. Dolce won Rap Album of the Year off a mixtape. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Can't be mad at that. And I liked, I'm saying that because she said that. She said this mixtape, you know, like she, you know, acknowledged it as such.
No, she's been adamant about it's a mixtape and how she was going to do it with or without the label's approval.
Right.
She just did that shit and told them, hey, I got this mixtape. Do what you do.
Yeah, shit won in the Grammy. Won a Grammy, best.
Which I don't even understand nowadays. What's the difference?
I don't either. Especially now that it's a Grammy Award winning mixtape. You know what I'm saying? Like it's kind of fly. I don't know if that's the first one of its kind. I think it is.
I don't know. Maybe. I just know back in the day the Clue mixtapes and even up to the. To 50 Cent mixtapes, which, you know what I'm saying, and Squad Up joints, probably started changing it. Like, it was rappers rapping over other people's beats and shit like that, maybe one or two exclusives. But, like, with Squad Up, he was, you know, rapping on people's beats, but then he also had a bunch of songs that was original. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying, maybe that started changing the tide as far as how people approach mixtapes. And then you got albums that put the mixtape DJ on there, like Drama and Tyler the Creator. So it's it's all over the place.
Oh shit! Well, that was an album, but it was done as a mixtape.
Right, it was an album that he used the mixtape style on.
Formula,
you know what I'm saying?
Right. Which one of Grammy too?
Yeah, so but that was an album. So
right, that was an album. That went out as an album.
So like, what's the difference?
Right. Yeah, I think the mixtape, like the label mixtape, probably started with maybe Funkmaster Flex or Clue, because I remember the Professional. Like, you know, Clue had his regular mixtapes that was just in the world, but then he did his Rockefeller mixtapes. I think that was, I don't know what came first, that or the 60 Minutes of Funk. One of those two. I know Clue went platinum for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure Flex. This joint came out first, but salute to either way. Salute to Dolce. That shit was fire. She killed it. Like her little They had them like a whole little, I guess, a montage of all of the new artists, nominees performing. And, you know, she's been on a run with these fucking performances. So how it started on some, like, it felt like some Get Out type shit. Like, it just had a bunch of people, like, just in the audience whistling, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just behind everybody, and they ain't even know what the fuck is going on. They whistling, and then you see Dolce up there looking like a bird, you know what I'm saying? And then doing some old crazy shit, and, you know, killed the shit. That was fly to see. Beyonce looked genuinely surprised when she won Country Album of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was kind of cool. I seen, I don't know, maybe I might be, I don't know, maybe I'm projecting, but I see some of them women in that category looking a little salty in the face. Man. Yeah, I mean, look a little salt, a little bit more salty than even from the Album of the Year. Album of the Year is whatever, but that, I think they was a little, felt a little territorial. But she definitely looked real surprised. And it was funny too, because it's always, I always bug out on the dynamic between her and Blue, right? It's just like, no matter how big you are, you know what I'm saying, in life and accomplished you are in life, if you got like a teenage child, they first of all, you just their parent. You know what I mean? You just their mother, you just their father, and they could be surly, or they could just feel however they feel. And it was just a moment where she was just like, it's just like, get up. That shit was just mad funny. Like, all right, yo, go take the podium or whatever. So that shit, I don't know, that made me laugh a little bit. But I'll tell you this, this is odd. I don't know how these came across my algorithm. I think I see it on TikTok, and I'm not even a TikTok cat. And this is the type of shit that comes on TikTok that like spooks me out, and I get off the app. But there's like, you know, these little reels and TikToks where they got the little automated AI voice talking. Mm-hmm. It's either the woman or that one guy that's like, mm-hmm, I can't even do his voice, but it's one of those type of voices. And it's this series of TikToks that are trying to say that Blue Ivy is not Beyonce's child, which is ridiculous.
I mean, why?
I don't know. It's just conspiracy theory TikTok. It's a weird corner of TikTok that somehow my algorithm has brought me to. I don't know how I got over there. And I know hopefully somebody that's listened to it has seen one of these things, but they be like, look at how Blue interacts with Beyonce. That's because that's not her mother. She doesn't like to be touched. And it's like, and they put so much scrutiny on this shit. And it's really just, it feels like more so just like teenage angst with your moms, who happens to be high profile, and it's like, here comes her father, Jay-Z, who's not really her father either. And look at how they don't want her. Oh my God, it's crazy to me. It's wild. Mm. But anyway, salute to Beyonce for, you know, winning that. I was out when Kendrick won. I caught it when I came back. I caught one of the last ones. Mm-hmm. Nigga swept off of a diss record. You know, mm-hmm, I seen a little clip where it felt like the whole the whole orchestra section of the Grammys was singing "Hey Minor," and I was like, man, I seen somebody tweet, "Yo, somebody check on Drake." No, seriously, check on Drake.
Nah,
cause he alright. He done put up some shit to
my nigga. This happened last. Well, I seen this morning, but I had another type of thing happen last night. So this morning they showed Drake's performance in Australia, which was packed, sold out ass arena, packed.
Yeah.
And he had on a holy hoodie, like he'd been shot up, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, martyr Drake.
Coming out of smoke, which, you know what I'm saying, which is whatever, you know what I'm saying? The internet mm-hmm gonna do what it do with that. And mm-hmm then, but last night, when we was leaving the spot, and then it was the decision being made on what do we play, you know what I'm saying, on the ride home from the mm-hmm spot.
Yeah.
And ultimately, a Drake song came on. And I was
Which
like,
record?
Chicago Freestyle.
Okay, okay.
And I was like, this is actually the perfect record to ride home to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, this nigga still got a place.
For sure.
Ain't nobody could feel his lane of what he do. And I damn sure, as much as I love Kendrick, I'm not playing him leaving the club. You know what I'm saying? Going to the house. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. I might not be playing him on the. Maybe I played not this last album. Going to the club.
He got some shit on this last album.
On this last album.
Yeah.
But there's many places where Drake fit in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like after you play, that's not. They not like us. If you in the little hookah lounge or whatever, you ain't playing all the rest of a lot of that other shit, man.
I agree.
My nigga, you in a, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you in your $200,000 spaceship cruising through the town with the stars on the roof.
Right. You're not playing N95.
You're not playing Mother Rhyme Sober. It might be a couple of tracks off the G96 album that you going to bump. But other than that, man, you going to, that's Future and Drake and all them. They own that space.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They own that
space. No. To that point, and I agree with you. To that point, because what I've said this before, I think that it definitely sets up the anticipation, right? It definitely is, because I'm curious to see, like I said before, I was curious to see what the next records would be from both of them. So we've seen GNX from Kendrick, and it's definitely definitely West Coast leaning, but definitely like, yo, you know, shit, we could put some shit out there. We got some shit that you could kind of, you could move to, you know what I mean? And then I'm going to do some of my little Kendrick shit as well. But I'm looking at the Drake thing, and it's got to be, and he's kind of alluded to it in some of these records. Not even alluded to it, he's spoken to it. Like, he's upset, you know what I'm saying? He's not feeling how a lot of y'all turned your back. A lot of y'all engaging with this, you know what I mean, this fuckery. And I'm sick about it. I feel a little scorned. But I'm curious to see how it affects the next offering. What is he going to come with? Because the thing about the kid is, to your point, his catalog is broad. You know, he got some shit for if you was in Saint-Tropez or if you just leaving fucking Club ADHD. You know what I'm saying? It's something he got a slap for all of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? He got a slap for every loose segment in that club. You know what I'm saying? Niggas over here with the headphones, motherfuckers painting and coloring books. He got something for all of y'all. So it's gonna be interesting to see. My last note on the great, well, two things that I like on the great. I like, and I noticed this probably in the Golden Globes, I like Tipsy Taylor Swift. You know what I'm saying? I do. I'm not like, I don't know much of her music at all, but I do. I've said when I've read up on some of like her business practices and how shrewd she is and how she kind of moved business-wise, the moves she made to get her master's back and all that type of shit, I was like, okay, I fuck with that. But what I like is she take a few sips and get real celebratory. You know what I'm saying? And she is for the people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, toasted, clinking glasses. You know what I'm saying? All in with whatever we talk about. Sweep. She like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she into it. She seemed like a good time. That. And then this was funny out the blue, but it was hilarious. Did you see the clip of Janelle Monáe going in on Nelly?
No. What happened?
Man, I thought I said that shit to you. So it was Janelle Monáe and Anderson .Paak, right? So they had a little some little Grammy after party. They danced to this shit. I didn't even realize it was Anderson .Paak at first. And band playing Hot in Here. You know what I'm saying? And like Janelle on the mic and Anderson on the mic, you know what I mean? They just on some karaoke type shit. And then Janelle was like, fuck Nelly. And then she was like, She just started rapping, talking about like freestyles, talking about you sold out. No, she said, "Nigga, use a coon." You know, and I might be a loo. I might have been drinking, but I mean everything I say. You know what I'm saying? She was dead ass. And but the this the fly shit, I didn't even catch it at first until they put the caption out here. But like, a little bit of hot, a little bit of that. But the Anderson .Paak singing to that melody, be like, "Nelly sold out." I said, "Yo, these motherfuckers." I was like, "Yo, that shit was hilarious," but I was all for it. I was like, "Yo, man." Sometimes the community gotta hit you with some shame when you gotta be. There's, listen, man. There's consequences, and you don't know where it's gonna come from. But the people feel away, and now you know. But it was just so funny, man. I thought, oh, you got to watch that shit. That shit is too funny.
Nelly sold out.
Nelly sold out. She said, "I've been drinking, but I mean everything I say." I said, "Oh shit! Oh shit! Talk to him." Oh man, that's the worst. You're getting dissed over your own record to the melody of your own record. So we still recognize that you had a slap, but we're gonna commandeer this to speak directly to you.
To you, Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Just in case.
That's wild.
Oh, shit.
But, you know, nigga had to know it was something coming with that check.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, but, you know, honestly, maybe not. Not that you ain't. Maybe there was still the fear of maybe something could come with it, but then it's also the... You know, unfortunately, you know, it's always been a catch-all, like, you know, like the loophole. Man, go get your money, man. Motherfuckers don't give a fuck, man. Just go get your money. Right. Ain't nobody going to be thinking about this shit. And nah, motherfuckers
it worked
feel away.
It worked for some people. So if you look at Kodak Black did that shit, you know what I'm saying? This artist, you know what I'm saying, repping Make America Great Again, you know what I'm saying? And Kanye did it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Two different things, dog. Kanye is kind of a brother Frey. He ain't even, you know what I mean? He doing whatever the fuck he want to do at this point.
He's a free radical.
Right.
Yeah.
And he accept everything that come with it. He just keep coming on back. You know what I mean? Kodak Black is out your zeitgeist. You know what I'm saying? This nigga is, he get his money in a whole nother place. It don't even fucking, where he get his money, it don't fucking matter. But Nelly, nigga, you smack dab in the middle of scrutiny. You know what I'm saying? So, or like when Chrisette Michelle did it, she didn't have enough gravitas to keep her going. You know what I'm saying? Snoop ain't been getting Black money since the 90s, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's going to be hard to get rid of Snoop.
Yeah, but you know, like we said before, he's still looked at, like, cause that's a really fine needle. That's a hard needle to thread when you're not really getting Black money, but you are still very much relevant in the Black community.
No doubt.
You know,
but his shit was such a, you know what I'm saying? It's not clear cut because. Did he he didn't perform at the inauguration. Performed at a party in D.C.
But it wasn't at the
Inauguration weekend, which who ever heard of inauguration weekend?
Yeah, that's where you try to stretch that.
No,
bread.
I'm not trying to stretch that.
No,
I know.
I'm just saying it's like All-Star weekend. It's typically inauguration is one day.
Yeah, typically inauguration is that shit that come on TV. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't think about it as a weekend of shit. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't perform for Trump. He performed for some crypto motherfuckers, which probably, you know what I'm saying, he got some coins and I don't know shit. So it wasn't as clear cut. You know what I'm saying? He didn't get up there and take a picture with the nigga, but the nigga did perform at this nigga's situation, kinda. So niggas got him on thin ice. Nelly is a easier target because... It ain't like he popping right now. He got the legacy hits. And he said some crazy shit afterwards. And, you know what I'm saying, it was, you know, it was for The Trumps, I think.
What's that?
Nelly's his situation, his performance.
Oh, I thought he was on the same. I thought all of them was on the same show.
Oh, I haven't. I only saw him. And, I only saw Snoop and Rick Ross on that. I thought Nelly was on something else, but I'm not sure.
He might. I don't know.
Don't get me to talking because I don't know Trump activities. I ain't never been to a MAGA weekend.
No, I ain't better than MAGA weekend either. But I tell you this, and I totally forgot about it until somebody referenced it, and then it didn't make me like, well, it made me say, well, maybe this nigga's been all bread. Because if you remember, you know, he'd be like, Bill Gates, Donald Trump, let me in now. Let me in now. He said that shit 20 years ago. So he finally got in. So, all right, he manifested that MAGA shit. I look at that like, all right, fair enough. At least you on record. You know what I'm saying? You not the motherfucker that's 4 years ago calling niggas fucking Jigaboos and Uncle Toms.
Right.
And then you hit a 180 on them. Right. But it is what it is. That's old news. I just thought it was funny as hell. You got to watch that Janelle Monáe shit, man. That shit was mad funny. but that shit. What's up with you, man? Anything else you want to talk about?
Ah, man, that's about it, man. I'm refreshing. I'm back in the element of refreshing my life. You know what I'm saying? Trying to identify where I'm at. Where I'm going, who I am, you know what I'm saying? After, you know, going through all this stuff, you know what I'm saying? I was in a place last night before we went to this little spot, and I was recounting the story of the Muhammad Holiday to my other homeboy who hadn't heard the story. Mm-hmm. But it was specific to, you know, where I'm at and how all this shit adds up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was breaking that shit down. And he snapped a picture while I was talking, maybe because I was really emphatic about it, I guess. But but I also know that in hindsight, every time I have to tell a story, it becomes a good thing for my, you know what I'm saying, rebirth of where I'm at. So so I told the story. He sent me the picture basically right while I was telling the story, but I didn't see it till after I finished. And I just posted that shit. And then, a lot of people were able to chime in and say how that story affects their world. You know what I'm saying? One of our listeners on there was like, you know, anytime I feel like I'm going through something, I go back and listen to that episode. So that actually felt good to be able to tell that story and to actually get that kind of feedback, because you don't know what none of this shit mean. You know what I'm saying? You're just out here. And when you're going through it, you're just going through it by yourself, and it's not really like, it's nobody to chime in and be like, yeah, damn, that shit make me feel like keep going. You know what I'm saying? So to hear it and see it, you know what I'm saying? I actually posted the link to that episode because people was asking me what that meant. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? So that felt good. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate being able to have a platform to do that. You know what I'm saying? Have a platform where people could talk back and let you know these kind of things, because it makes a difference.
Right, right. Nah, for sure. For sure. Salute. Happy Muhammad Holiday.
It ain't. That's big. It ain't Muhammad Holiday now, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, you know what I'm just, I mean, it was. But but either way, right. Either way, you know, like the spirit of it. Yeah,
right,
yeah,
the spirit of it, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, that's real shit.
Wear it up.
Real shit, man. Yeah, it's always imperative to sometimes draw upon your past to power your future. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just to remind yourself, you done been through this and worse. You know what I'm saying? And and shit. And, you know, you done got here. What they say, shit, you done survived 100% of all of the worst shit that could ever happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, man, and you didn't thrive, like we said earlier. That's the kicker. Mm-hmm. That's the kicker. What it's just like, you think motherfuckers is gonna be scratching and, you know, scratching is arriving. Niggas is out here thriving. I was listening to, speaking of Free Radical, yay. I just, before I go, I just love this one line. I forget what it's on. I think it's on Black Skinheads again. Kanye's gonna say weird shit. But one line that resonates to me, because I tell you one thing about Kanye, man, he got some lines that will resonate. That just you could just pull them out, and that shit is like a mantra. But he got one line where he say, he say, "You niggas is." And he said, "You niggas ain't breathing, you gasping." And I was like, shit, I gotta breathe. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I said that a couple weeks ago. I was just like, man, you better breathe. Like, every breath is your last breath. Like, just breathe, full inhale. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Exhale. Live that, you know what I mean? Live that life. Let that life go through your body. You know what I'm saying? Because we in effect mode, as Al B. Shaw would say. You know what I'm saying? And shit, man. That reminds me, damn, man, AD and Luka, that was a hell of a trade, but
oh, again, my goodness.
Yeah, man. That, you know, even for the casuals, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
That's some crazy shit.
But as a casual, I looked at it from a different perspective. And I had been saying this shit. And then it's a post that dropped that Dwayne Wade kind of mentioned the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know who makes the decisions here. I don't know where it came from, but obviously not many people knew about it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you took, you know, you got all of the stars that was driving the conversation and the ratings and the jersey sales and all that shit. All these guys are aging out. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like LeBron is still up there, but he ain't going to be up there for long, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Luka, 25 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he going to be around, and he good. So if you mix some shit up, you got L.A. and New York as the top two markets in the country, media-wise. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got a brand-new media deal coming in for $25 billion or some shit like that. You got at least those two teams. The Knicks is doing good. The Lakers ain't doing so well, but they still got LeBron, so niggas may watch. Bronny don't even play, is still brought in $50 million worth of jersey sales. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's fucking his dad yearly salary right now. You know what I'm saying? So it made sense for them to do that. But if you put an international star on the Lakers and the Knicks is doing good, you got that balance of media coverage that'll keep you getting that money. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like niggas stop watching in New York, niggas stop watching in L.A. Oh, Lord, you're in trouble. Now you got to depend on Dallas and fucking
Slovenia.
Minnesota. Minnesota to drive your fucking ratings and fucking Memphis. Right. You know what I'm saying? Most people ain't even going to be able to see them games. So I felt like it was kind of a move to balance out the money in the NBA. You know, that's just me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing about it. I don't even work for the NBA. I don't play for the NBA. I'm just looking at it from an outside casual Al perspective of niggas trying to move that money around so that it makes sense. Because now the money is ending up in the lower markets. And they not driving enough people. It was like when we were selling Yard Fest and the advertising people was like, hey, it's cool to do it in D.C., but that ain't enough media coverage to justify us spending this money. So you made it a tour so you get more coverage, more people, affecting more people, so the money evens out.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that's a theory. I've seen Giannis have a similar theory too, saying, you know, he wants to see more international players in A markets.
Right.
And I think quietly he was saying, yo, get me out of Milwaukee.
Right.
But
I want to go to New York.
Yeah, like, shit, what's going on? Y'all doing that? But it was a shocker. But it was kind of cool. It was interesting to see the excitement of the trade. Because typically the trades are kind of like, you know, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not that, it's not much of a shakeup. So it was kind of cool to see a real shakeup in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brought some excitement to it.
But it was just weird that he didn't know about it. Nobody knew about that shit. This nigga, you know what I'm saying? AD, they was interviewing this nigga after the game. Mm-hmm. Like, they already got a little Twitter update. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, what you think about the future? He like, y'all sound like I ain't going to be here.
Then they like, check your phone.
Check your phone, nigga. God damn.
What?
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
That make you come back to the court with the pistol on some above the rim shit.
But niggas was mad because LeBron did his own fucking shit. Like, shit, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I would imagine Bron knew.
Doing what?
I would imagine Bron knew that AD was going to be getting up out of there.
Probably.
I mean,
Rich Paul is AD agent.
Oh, well, yes, he definitely does.
So I don't know if he knew.
That's crazy.
I mean, I'm sure he gonna act like he ain't know, I guess. I don't know.
They had a little montage of videos of LeBron looking at certain people. Like, yo, when LeBron look at you like this.
Oh, yeah, I saw this. It's over for you.
It's your last days. It's your last days. The Reaper. Bron, you don't even know. You be in the middle of one of those intricate-ass daps that he made for you, and you are on your way out, nigga. You fucking 11 movements into a pound. That nigga got you on the flight to fucking Milwaukee. Oh, man. Yeah, man. But it is what it is. Shit. Before I get out of here, I just want to thank everybody that came out to Stress Factory. We had a blast out there. Stress Factory. Shout out to my man Chris Lambert. He came through, rocked out. This weekend, right before the Super Bowl, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, I will be in Connecticut at River, February 7th and 8th, Weathersfield, Connecticut. I'm going to be also, I'll be at Brokerage in Belmore, New York. That's March 28th and the 29th, June 26th through the 28th. I'll be out in Batavia, Illinois at Comedy Vault. And all of those tickets are available at DamianLemon.com. You can go right now and purchase tickets right now. Get them shits right now so you have them in your possession. You know what I mean? I want to see y'all in the building. Virginia, might have an announcement for you next week. We might have something worked out. So look to hear from that, my Virginia peoples. But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
Get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.